today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, you have to admit, the digs have improved a little bit since the last time you were
digs
here.
Improved. I'm in this whole, I'm in the Mike O'Mara compound or something. This is, you got, so you have like a whole network.
Yes.
This is
well,
amazing.
It's not mine. It's really, that's why it looks so good, because it really doesn't have all that much to do with me. Well, it's
let me hang
Oscar.
On. Yeah, there's all these shows on the website here. Let me read. I got, these look really good. Mm-hmm. White Power Hour with Heinrich Mutter. Eugene, Eugenics, and You.
And I remember what I said to them. I said, please don't fire me, God, please. I have to, please. I've grown accustomed to this lifestyle, please. I have to. And, you know, and now I've gotten used to this, and I'm driving a Subaru. But I'm driving a Subaru in Maine, which is A-OK.
There you go.
I love my Subaru,
So
baby.
What you're saying is you closed your heart and let it die, and now things don't affect you.
That's right.
That's perfect.
Absolutely.
That's how you succeed in radio.
I don't even remember which marriage this was, but it was one of them. And I was, all I know, I was in Eastport.
I'm sorry. You are literally talking like a pure psychopath. Not sure which wife this was.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
They're all a fleshy blur.
I'm old.
People are objects. People are objects.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. I am so excited when this gentleman drops by. I think about him more than he would be comfortable with. I have to say that. I just have to be honest.
I have a pretty high comfort level, Mr. O'Mara. You'd be shocked.
Hello.
You'd be quite shocked.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt is here.
Yay!
So happy to be back.
Oh, yes, I know. This is I know you plan your year around it. We're very happy that you are here in our studio. Hey, you have to admit, the digs have improved a little bit since the last time you were
digs
here.
Improved. I'm in this whole, I'm in the Mike O'Mara compound or something. This is, you got, do you know about is the apocalypse coming and we don't know? Or what is this? The whole floor. The whole podcast. So you have like a whole network.
Yes.
This is
well,
amazing.
It's not mine. It's really, that's why it looks so good, because it really doesn't have all that much to do with me. Well, it's
let me hang
Oscar.
On. Yeah, there's all these shows on the website here. Let me read. I got, these look really good. Mm-hmm. White Power Hour with Heinrich Mutter. Eugene, Eugenics, and You. 14 Words with Ava and Panzer. There's two kid shows here, Pepe the Frog and Friends, and Kinder Pride. And then
a network.
And then there's a quiz show, Witzkrieg. That's okay. I mean,
Witzkrieg.
I guess you. So you partnered
awesome.
With these guys, or?
Oh my God! Oh,
that's
man.
Wow! I didn't know you were okay. Whatever. That's fine.
Witzkrieg.
That's a little weird.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is Patton Oswalt.
Thank
it is
you.
A delight to have him here. Our favorite Mongolian. He is so nice to come in and see us. And Patton, by the way, if you are in the D.C. area, Patton will be appearing. This is. Got to be a trip for you at the Kennedy Center Saturday, July 21st at 7 p.m.
Well,
you've been in the big venues before here, but the Kennedy Center is a different, that's rarefied air. That's fantastic.
The 7 p.m. show has sold out. They've added a 9:30 show.
Oh,
yes. Look at
so
that.
Yes, so we've added a second show.
Wow, a second show.
Huge.
And that's got to be cool.
It's very surreal for me to do the Kennedy Center because, A, it's the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And B, July 21st is 3 days after July 18th of this year is my 30-year anniversary in comedy. And I started, thank you. I was a little slow on that applause, guys, a little slow. I started at Garvin's Comedy Club on L Street between 13th and 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So if
Garvin's.
You had told me when I was on stage at 2 a.m. in front of 8 drunks that, in 30 years you'll be doing the Kennedy Center, like a couple miles away.
Didn't they move Garvin's to Did they move Garvin's to the Holiday Inn?
Yeah, they moved
Wisconsin Avenue for a time.
They didn't move it. They started opening other locations. So there was a Garvin's at a place in Tyson's Corner. There was one at a Holiday Inn. The whole thing closed down. Now I think last I heard, Garvin's, that location is a, and I'm not making this up, was a gay bar called the Green Lantern. It was like
I've been there.
Yeah, exactly. You judged like, oh yeah, the Green Lantern. Yeah, with it.
The Green Lantern. Yeah.
They have a sandwich named after him.
Two for one wings night Wednesday.
great selection draft.
Great foods, trivia really. Night.
It's a wonderful place. I love that.
But
you've been doing this 30 years now. 30 I feel years. Old because you're young, a hell of a lot younger than I am, and that's but then again, everybody is now. that's special. That is truly special. I think of the. For some reason, when I think of the Kennedy Center, I think of Lincoln Center, I think of Moonstruck, and I think of chandeliers,
yes.
and I think of boom, boom, yeah. boom, where you're supposed to go in there,
yeah.
and that's got to be... Do you think, and I'll ask you this, do you think that it will be... It'll be your folks, right, that come to see you, or is it going to be some of that?
God, what if it's,
that,
what,
you know...
A lot of subscriptions?
I know, what if it's subscription holders? You know what I mean? Well, we saw La Traviata last night, and that was wonderful. And this one's apparently a leg puller, or a yuckster, they say. I certainly love jokes, so this should be wonderful. I love comedians like, Harden and Weaver, and stuff like that. So this should be fantastic.
Yeah. I was introduced at a party up here in Maine where most of my family is during the summer. I was introduced by the, and nothing to say about, I love classical right. music as right. well. I was introduced by the classical loving family members that I had as, this is my nephew. He does that awful radio show.
Oh. They actually said awful radio show?
They said awful, I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I'm like,
wow.
And I made light of it. I made laugh, but then I cried at home. That's the way that goes.
This is my Mike the Radio Clown.
That's what I mean. We got a lot to talk about on the show today. I want to talk about, it's been a while since we've seen you, and you're doing great. You've got the TV show, you've got the stand-up special on Netflix that was, just amazing. You don't get 100% reviews very often, but you
yeah,
did. And that's got to feel, do you look at Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that when you're, do you care? Steel yourself against it. I
do look at Rotten Tomatoes only because there are certain reviewers that tend to bounce around on the internet now because they don't really movie criticism is kind of dying. So it's a good resource to read. But I kind of don't judge movies on the quote unquote tomato meter because a lot of movies that I like end up going really low on that. So I just don't use it as a thing to.
Well,
judge
movies. You got great reviews on that, and
thank
then it's really fantastic. Yeah, check out his special Annihilation that's on Netflix right now. That's great. You've got the television program going well. That's going well for you.
Well, I mean, we got renewed, and beyond it getting renewed, it's just one of those. I was very worried that it wasn't going to get renewed, only because, and of course, we're talking about. AP Bio Thursday night.
Big fan.
NBC. Thank
Big
you.
Fan.
AP
now,
Bio.
We did the quiet.
Thank you. Very. That little getting there. Better, guys.
But you play the best principal around.
Well, it's a really, really fun show to do. The cast, all those kids that they hired, they're kind of all unknown actors, are
right.
all so amazing. And so I was having so much fun doing it that I was like, this is going to be one of those. One season and out because everyone's having too much fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they gave us another season. And also because Michael Bryan, the show creator, is so authentically weird. He's not trying to, buckle in because my stuff's crazy. He's a really weird guy. And his thoughts on how to structure a show are very odd. And I just love getting to be a part of it, you know?
Your That's part awesome. Is so great because you come and go, often supporting the plot, but not always in the thick of the plot.
Yes.
And you get to come in and just be funny. Is it a blast to shoot that?
Mm. They give me the best stuff to do and read. Glenn Howerton is amazing to do scenes with. He's unshakable. You can improv with him. He'll improv back. he did a couple improvs they couldn't use on the show. You know, just because he's from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and he's very comfortable going dark.
Right.
So there's an episode where he dates one of the students' moms, and it's so cringy. Where they take the plot.
Right.
And also, you know, I mean, I love the role that I get to play. I'm very much basing it on there's a comedian, remember Tim Meadows, yeah.
mm-hmm.
who sure. Plays the guidance counselor on the Goldbergs.
Right.
And he also was the principal in Mean Girls, which I think is one of the most underrated comedic performances because he plays an authority figure with absolutely zero authority. No one listens to him. He has no power to do anything. And he has this Zen attitude about he knows he has no power. Like, instead of being upset about it, he just knows that no one will listen to it. And it's kind of beautiful and hilarious. And he kind of does that on the Goldbergs as well. But he is so I've kind of like, he's what I'm shooting for with Principal Derby.
Well, you know, I think it's got to be fun for anybody to go back and just work on memory and from their experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, take those memories. I think it probably is easy for everybody to bring up memories from school. Rob,
oh, yeah.
When we're going to have you on the show, Rob posts on social media. We're going to have Patton on because it's always a thrill. And our listeners go crazy and our numbers spike up when you come to visit. It's true.
I have to
be honest with you about that. And so Rob puts up, Patton will be joining us on the show, and then we share it. We get it all over social media. We want to let everybody know that you're coming in. And then I looked on the thread. About you coming on the show.
Yeah.
And a gentleman, I actually cut and pasted this. Dennis Woods writes this. Rob, for the record, my sister Mary Beth considered Patton to be her boyfriend in elementary school, maybe second grade, at Sugarland Elementary. Is that where you went to elementary
school? I went to
school?
Sugarland Elementary. My second grade teacher was Mrs. Nicely. Her literal name was Mrs. Nicely. I swear to God.
Nuh-uh.
I remember.
I'm picturing the receptionist in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like,
yeah, Mrs. Nicely.
Well, hello, Patton. We're glad to have you back.
I thought my second grade girlfriend, again, whatever that means, was the girl named Lisa Dillinger. It was that thing where
we both
said, we're a boyfriend, girlfriend, not have no idea what that means.
Right, right.
Yeah, like we're just boyfriend, girlfriend.
Well, you know, tell Dennis that obviously this is unrequited love because he's Team Dillinger.
Yeah,
I guess I'm Team Dillinger. I honestly didn't know there was a love triangle. That I'm very intrigued.
You escaped the awkwardness easily, though. Yeah, it's
my
good.
My God.
I remember my second grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. Pruce. I wouldn't remember a lot of them, but I remember
her
Mrs.
last name was
Pruce.
Pruce?
Pruce. Mrs. Pruce, and it's everything you would expect. She was horrible. She was nasty. She was evil. And then later on, I got Miss Wilkes.
That sounds like Cockney slang for like a something dirty, you know.
Kicked him in the Pruce.
Had a date go last night. Oh, you know, showed me a Pruce. He's all right. Went out for kebabs after.
How's your alibit? What are you making a Pruce face for? What you making that nasty Pruce face?
Get that it's Pruce face off! I cooked all day for you.
Oh my God! I have to bring to you, gentlemen, because Patton just likes to come in and talk about what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
And I got a thing here that
whatever's on your mind
that I just had to bring to the show. And I had that moment that we probably all have when we get something like this, but I got a voicemail. Nobody takes calls anymore. When you see a number you don't recognize, you let it go to voicemail,
sure.
And then whatever. This was a voicemail I received yesterday afternoon.
Oh boy!
And I'm gonna try to turn down the phone number and play it for you, but I'm gonna play it for you right now.
Okay.
And this is what I got on my voicemail yesterday up here in the great state of pine trees and vacations.
Okay.
And once it get expired after that, you will be taken under custody by the local police, as there are 4 serious allegations pressed on your name at this moment. We would request you to get back to us, so that we can discuss about this case, before taking any legal action against you. The number to reach us is...
Okay, so that's it. That's the gist of it. And then they give the number where I am called. Now, I understand that I recognized immediately that this is a scam.
I love the badly translated English. Under custody. Yes. Under custody. And let's discuss about...
Yeah, and I also like the fact that Mike lives in the smallest of small towns up there in Maine.
Right.
That they're going to send local authorities, but they have this huge computer-generated voice to call him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the local authority is the one guy that also does the sack races on the weekends for the kids, and you know everyone knows who he is. Like when he comes to arrest you, he's like, he literally call you up, "Hey Frank, I gotta come over and arrest you." "All right, I'll be here. Thanks." Click.
Charges against me. Well. Yeah. F him, and we're going to call him right after this, ladies and gentlemen. Start the show, Rob.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
I like to stuff a jelly donut with Reese's peanut butter cup, then put it in a warm oven and let the chocolate and everything melt into the dough.
Mm. How about peanut butter and jelly on a chocolate-covered graham cracker?
Mm-hmm. With thin layers of banana on top. Mm.
The crones, they got chocolate-covered orange wedges. The juice just dribbles down your chin. A wedge of the actual fruit is covered with that thick, dark chocolate. You know?
Oh, boy. How do you like to stuff one of them in a donut? Mm.
Get the honey, Junior.
Give me the honey, Junior.
It's in the cupboard, Dom.
Well, get it.
What else did they cover with that chocolate? I mean, besides the orange wedges, grapes, peaches?
Strawberries.
Junior, the honey.
Those big, juicy stem strawberries are dipped into that dark, dark chocolate.
Get the honey! Get the honey!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
That was me speaking to my wife last night.
Who was the actor with that amazing voice?
The guy that's got that the one. Honey Jr. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you one thing, Patton. He was fat. We are live from the heart of our nation's capital in the Podcast Village studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are a radio show and podcast with a worldwide network of listeners who get it. You can listen 24-7 on our new Playapod app, and all items for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Call us anytime, except for today. 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Here's a fact from Cornerstone First Financial. Home values are at the highest levels in 14 years, which means there are trillions of dollars in equity out there. It's a perfect time to use your home as a virtual ATM for debt consolidation, a divorce buyout,
what?
Home improvements, or anything else, especially since the tax deductibility implications on a HELOC have changed this year.
You by the way, never loved me!
HELOC stands for Home Equity Line of Credit.
Why don't you go extend some credit to that trollop secretary of yours?
Simply Home Equity Line. Now you know. And if you're buying a home, Cornerstone First Financial is a direct lender with their own money and can set their own rates and beat all others for your divorce buyout.
You can with your brother!
You tell them they're paying extra for this spot. You can get pre-approved before you work with an agent so you know what you qualify for, just like so many TMOS listeners have done before you. I promise you, Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First.
Hello, is this the manager? Janice Rossi in 2R. You have a... get your own damn man! Janice Rossi! He's my husband!
202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. That I like to keep it together.
All right, yeah, sorry, but
please come on.
All right, Patton Oswalt is here. If you want to get tickets to the second show, which let's be honest, will be the more fun show. It'll be the hip people that want to go to a 9:30 show.
Up
it's at the Kennedy Center.
Yes.
It's going to sell out today after we mention this. PattonOswalt.com, that's where they can get tickets for this, or they can go to the Kennedy Center website.
You can go to PattonOswalt.com as a ticket link, or go to the KennedyCenter.org. Get your tickets. First show, 7 o'clock, sold out. 9:30 show. Tickets still available. Going fast.
If I don't mention it, we will forget. Patton Oswalt and Friends appearing regularly at Largo at Coronet in L.A. Modesto, California's Mary Stuart Rogers Theater, Saturday, August 11th. Is it Ben Salem or is it...
Ben Salem, isn't it?
Ben Salem.
I have no idea. I kind of like Ben Salem better. Ben Salem, that doesn't flow. Ben Salem is prettier.
If it's Pennsylvania, I'm going to lay odds it's Ben Salem.
It's probably Ben Salem,
Pennsylvania's Parks Casino, Saturday, September 15th. And is that far enough out for you? Or I can mention
that's
the other
fine.
Two.
That's fine. Okay, please. But really, we're focusing on the Kennedy Center.
Yes, the Kennedy Center is the second show, 9:30, that's opening up, and we are delighted to have him here as usual. Patton lives around the D.C. area and comes back. Are you back in town doing press, or are you back in town seeing family, or are you doing both?
This is, two weeks a year I have to bring the daughter back to see her grandparents. It's like bringing drugs to junkies. They need her. Where's that?
Beautiful
Where's
Alice.
My granddaughter? So I'm here all week just hanging out. I might do a couple of pop-in shows in the city, or maybe I won't. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So.
Improv. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. No, that's not going to happen. I didn't say it. He did. Mm-hmm. It's great to have you here. Now let's just get this out of the way, and I can actually move on with the show
because
there's a lot to talk about, the hard-boiled egg diet and everything else that I'm trying to do in the never-ending Battle of the Bulge. Let's call this number and find out. I'm going to tell them that I need to get some legal advice.
Surrender yourself, really. I think that's probably, you can throw yourself at their mercy.
Calls anywhere in the United States absolutely free. Simply visit MagicJack.com and begin making calls for free. It takes only seconds.
So it's an ad.
That's MagicJack.com.
So strange. Is that all it is?
The MagicJack number you've called
has not
been assigned to a customer.
Got outed, and the guy just disconnected his number.
Yeah, they got shut down.
Hey, now we can have that number. We can get that Magic Jack number.
wait, explain to me again, because I'm confused.
Okay,
what happened?
I guess from the Magic Jack auto response.
And thanks for giving him another plug. Yeah.
I think he used to be on an Ocean City.
It's an easy way to hack a line.
The Hitman.
Yeah.
And Batman, DJ Batman.
I love you, Batman.
All right.
That number was being used to scam people. Someone found out, so the number has been disconnected.
Oh.
All right. Okay. So that's that.
I have received calls like this. My mother received a call that said she needed to send $500 to the sheriff's office.
Yep.
And she had to wire that over. She called me in a panic. She's four and she's old. And I said, look, Mom, that's not happening. You don't have to go to Western Union. Do not do this. But it is interesting that even as robotic and as hacky as Patton said the call is, people fall for this.
Oh, yeah. Well, crazy. There's whole YouTube channels now devoted to kind of black hat hackers calling these numbers up and getting them to go, well, I'm on my computer. Is there a website? And then they'll go, the guy will give them the website. And it's usually some guy like in, Russian or Indian or something like that. And then they'll get, and then they'll just shut they'll freeze it all up and the whole phone center will shut down.
Oh, that's
and so there's these great YouTube vengeance channels where they'll just destroy these people. It's so
or
great.
As Pony calls it, porn.
Oh, yeah, the old DDoS.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'd say it just...
Hey, you're not going to jail. That's a win.
Exactly.
But a big win.
It's still, I don't care how thick-skinned you are or how cynical you are, it still freaks you out hear that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You will be taken into custody, and they do. So I was calling to do shtick, but at the same time, I was wondering what the end result would be if they had their half hour open where they were trying to scam people. Mm-hmm. I guess they get them to wire them money.
Yeah.
Right?
Although, another thing that they'll do is if they can't hack the thing, they'll just try to keep them on the phone as long as they can, because that's eight other customers they weren't able to get money out of, and they'll just jam up their line all day, just going,
oh, that's great.
Oh, I dropped the checkbook behind the couch. Now let me, because I, and they'll like literally write out like, so 10, 1, 0, comma, and they'll go 0, 0. Oh, I dropped it. Hang on. I almost, so they keep tantalizing this poor guy, and they'll keep him on the line forever.
Kind of what I wanted
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, it's so great.
We didn't get a chance to. Patton, you said something in your last stand-up special that I was watching where you indicated that it is a dream of yours or something you've always wanted to, where you want to pitch, you want to get a movie made. I reference it. It's always at the end of the show where I don't get a chance to talk to you about that. But what Patton does, and a lot of people don't realize this, you punch up scripts for television shows and movies and things like that. So screenwriting is something you are very familiar with.
Yeah.
And I'm curious where that is, where that stands, how you're rolling with that, with movie development, because I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually trying to develop a TV show because I think TV is more exciting than films right now in terms of what you're able to do creatively, writing wise. I think that right now TV is the way films were in the early 70s, where you're just allowed to do anything, and so it's way more exciting to try to create a TV universe right now than and it's way easier to get made actually. Movies, the movie business is in such disarray. It's all, either find a way to make a $7,000 movie with your iPhone or a $400 million movie that we can sell all over the world.
Yeah.
And those movies, sad. You have to do service to so many things beyond the movie. You have to, we have to consider the Asian audience. We have to consider the marketing department. We have to consider the merchant. So it's so hard to when you do that, it's a miracle when something good like Infinity War actually gets made, having to do all that fan service. So I just think right now TV is so much more exciting. So
in the process, because for everybody out there that might not know, I think of the process of going into an office, the only frame of reference I would have would be dealing with executives in the radio business. And if it's anything similar, it must be a little soul-sucking, I would think, because unless you got – I don't know if people are hipper out there or how it works, but it would seem to me that it would be kind of a tough deal to pitch something like that.
What's frustrating is what they want is whatever's successful right now, they want a version of that, and it's hard to argue with them to go, but by the time this thing gets made, it'll be a year from now, and that will not be the popular thing anymore. So take a chance. The thing that's successful right now was the result of somebody taking a chance on something completely new.
Right.
So let's do that again, and we'll be the next thing. And they're very, very nervous about that. So I'm sure – I mean, I can't imagine what it's like in radio when they're like, well, but this thing – this format is popular. These bits are popular, so do versions of these. And you're like, but that's the idea. I want to give people something, and they just fight. I mean, I would remember you and Don would read that. What was it called? The Electric Weenie or something? This horrible
prep sheet. Yeah,
the prep burger or whatever. And where they were, do these bits already work in these other markets? So now you do them, and you're like, no, we're trying to. And so you would read out the bits and make fun of them. I remember there was one where they went to the top of the office building, and they would throw donuts, and they'd have the listeners come by with buckets try to catch the donuts. It was the stupidest.
Super fun.
That's
how I made my living in the early days.
But it was like that weird forced corporate fun that was just not. And
we modified that, and when we did the fun, we decided that we would take a blow up love doll, but instead of blowing it up with a regular air, you would actually use helium, and we would put the love doll, and we would let the love doll go, and the love doll was released from the top of 10800 Main Street in Fairfax, Virginia, and I believe was recovered, and this is not, I am not lying here, was recovered on the Chesapeake Bay.
True, right? And what you left out is that on the inner thigh of the love doll, you wrote our 800 number.
There you
so okay. they knew yeah. they were able to call in when they found the doll.
So there's no original ideas. I mean, that's the way it goes. And then when they came to me about 10 years ago and said, you know, we're going to sell national advertising with a network of sports talkers. And I remember what I said to them. I said, please don't fire me, God, please. I have to, please. I've grown accustomed to this lifestyle, please. I have to. And, you know, and now I've gotten used to this, and I'm driving a Subaru. But I'm driving a Subaru in Maine, which is A-OK.
There you go.
I love my Subaru.
So what you're saying is you closed your heart and let it die, and now things don't affect you.
That's right.
That's perfect. That's how you succeed in radio.
That's how you roll with it. And, you know, Oscar has, I think, a much stronger constitution than I do. When he was blown out at the same time I was, Oscar has not harbored the same petty jealousies that I have managed to cultivate and just keeps the fire stoked for all these years. You know,
you got to let it go. It'll haunt you otherwise.
Recently, we had the Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals. Yes. You know the Capitals, Patton, and they won the cup, and they had a parade. And the guys that worked at our old radio station, who are still there.
How about that?
The guys that are still there were in the parade. Parade I should have been in. But anyway, that's okay.
I have a question, Mike, if you don't mind, just briefly for Patton. As far as television is concerned, this arms race for content and original content with Amazon and Netflix,
Hulu,
has that helped creators really create?
Well, it's helped creators right now. The only thing I'm worried about is that there will be the bubble might burst. But fortunately, unlike the housing bubble and the tech bubble, which were all built on nothing, really amazing shows are getting made because of this bubble, because they need content and they don't have time to police the creators the way that three networks could. What stinks is there's all these great new shows. There's all these amazing video games. There's these amazing podcasts, great books getting written, great new music, but everyone still just has the same 2 hours. If anything, they have less than 2 hours because it's a gig economy and everyone's car is a taxi and everyone's house is a hotel now and no one has any free time. But there's all these amazing shows getting made, and it's hard for them to – great shows are going begging for viewers where – 5 years ago, they would have been the zeitgeist. Whereas, like a show like The Sopranos now would just be lost in the shuffle, as brilliant as it was. Or a show like
That's
The Wire.
Scary too.
There's
That's
a show
a
on
scary.
TV called The Expanse, which I think is as good, if not even in some ways better than The Wire was.
Wow.
On some levels, and it sci-fi just couldn't keep doing it. And sci-fi's on a bad station; they're doing good stuff, but Amazon had to pick it up. You know, because so everyone's kind of going begging right now, and there's all these amazing shows getting made. There's amazing shows getting made that I don't have time to watch, that I'm only reading about. Killing Eve is apparently this amazing new show.
Mike loves it.
That's my show. That's
there
my
was
show,
one man. On Netflix that I just got into, Babylon Berlin, which is about the rise of the Third Reich during the Weimar Republic, which is a little tough to watch these days.
Yeah. Hey, what does that remind us of?
Yeah, same with The Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
As my there's a comedian, Aparna Nancherla, that says, sometimes just to take a break from the gloom of the news, I just go watch The Handmaid's Tale just to cheer myself up.
Which is plunged
because at least those guys are organized. Like at least their stuff's getting they're running things at least. Like this is it's like we're living in the dumb Handmaid's Tale. Like so you know it's that kind of like. But there's so many amazing programs are on all and not just and the networks are stepping up because they realize. How good – did you guys watch The Looming Tower on Hulu?
I did.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
That's Pony Boy.
And it was
producer.
Just like – it was – but that was like – that got like a footnote on
Yeah, nobody TV. Noticed it.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. It's
is
insane.
There enough money to support – I mean, how is it going to – how is it going to shake loose? I mean, is there enough to go around? Or I know in the world of podcasts, we you know, we're clawing every day to,
for
our advertisers and get it. Because there are thousands of them. And more and more people are coming out with this kind of content. And that's the challenge. We kind of are bringing it more in-house. That's the way we're going to survive. You take your core of fans. That's harder to do in TV, though, I would think.
Yes, it's very hard to do in TV. That's why, I mean, I don't know the full model. Maybe they're selling to a lot of foreign markets, and that's how they make money. I know that, you know, Netflix picks up the cream of foreign TV shows. Babylon Berlin is a German TV show.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Happy Valley was a British crime show. So they'll go searching for other, you know, on other networks and bring you the best stuff, which is also, mm-hmm. But then now you have this, Netflix is an aggregator for amazing shows that aren't even American anymore. Mm. So where, I mean, I hope it all balances out because as far as a time for really, really creative people and especially new voices are, you know, really, that is very crucial, I think.
Yeah, I think the new voices are overrated, Pat. I really do. We have to take
a break. What about the pasty white man? Excuse me. Right. We built this country. Oh, my heart.
That's right. Till I take the big nap. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We will come back with more fun and more thrills. We're with Pat Oswalt right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back. Caution, ladies and gentlemen, the promo starts now. O'Reilly here. Hey, did you know the Mike O'Mara Show is always looking for interns? Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Well, you should. Of course they are. You know, interns, they show up, they get coffee, they help out. You know the drill. And if you're a college kid and you want to get your foot in the broadcast door, just email your resume and a letter of intent to Rob, that's with two B's, at MikeO'MaraShow.com. That's SpeeWack Kid. He's your liaison. SpeeWack! Best of all, every intern at TMOS is treated with respect and class, a professional environment. And if that part doesn't matter to you, I have a podcast too. Come intern at The Factor. Where things can get a little handsy. Know what I mean? We'll do it live. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Stamps.com. Nowadays, you get everything on demand, TV, car rides, food, even our podcast. You listen to us whenever it's convenient for you. So why are you still going to the post office when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? With Stamps.com, you can do everything you do at the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it's convenient for you. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or any package using your own computer and printer, and your mailman picks it up. No lines, no parking hassles, just click print mail and you're done. It couldn't be easier, and you can
Yeah,
create.
You'll need stamps to send love letters to that mistress of yours that destroyed our marriage.
That's the other spot. That's the other spot. Nothing about divorce.
Good callback.
You can create a stamps.com account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. This is a client that asked the music to be turned down.
That's so right. Turn it down. No music.
I love this. I love this.
We've used stamps.com since the start of this podcast because it saves time, hassle, and money.
To send a letter and apologize to your son for not being at his graduation.
Right now, use the TMOS code for a special offer that includes up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's stamps.com, and enter TMOS. You'll wonder how you got along without it. There we are.
I wonder why I ever fell in love with you. That's what I wonder.
Oh, man. If only stamps.com had been around for my divorces, I would be I'd be doing so, so very well. We are here with Pat Oswalt, who is going to be appearing at the Kennedy Center Saturday, July 21st at 7 p.m. That show is sold out. They have opened up another show at 9:30. That is a rare occurrence, as far as I know, to open up an extra show at a venue like the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, I was beyond gratified and flattered when they told me that. Like, oh, you sold your first show. Can you want to add another one? I'm like, yes. Just for the pure bragging rights, just that I can do that humble brag. Yeah, it's rough. I sold out that first show at the, where am I doing? Oh, yeah, the Kennedy Center. Yeah, sold it out. It's weird. So I had to add a second one. It's going to be a long night.
Yeah, almost selling missed your bedtime.
Did I mention two shows at the Kennedy Center? Yeah, I had to add a second one because I sold the first show out. It's weird. Anyway, yeah.
It's me.
What are you doing these days? How are you doing?
How's life going with you, everybody? Oh, my God. Hey, this is something for, the DCites here. I have to share this with you. This just jumped to the page to me mm-hmm. today. More psychopaths live in a certain part of the United States than anywhere else, a new study shows. If you feel like you're constantly surrounded by psychopaths, it may be that you live in the wrong city. New research measured which areas of the country are home to the individuals with psychopathic personalities. Ooh,
are we going to guess?
You can if you'd like to. You may.
Is it the Pacific Northwest?
It is not.
Oh. God. Mm. Wait a minute. Where are more psychopaths? Do you guys have a guess?
I would say, is it in the southern part of the country?
It is not.
I would have guessed Florida.
Well, Florida, you know, as I've said for years, Patton, when I do the news segment on here, the kicker, and I'm not exaggerating, is usually during the course of the year, probably over 90%
yeah.
Florida stories.
Yeah, exactly.
That's,
yeah.
That's where they come from. What about? Crazy. You've done shtick on Florida before.
Oh, my God. Who doesn't? You cannot.
Yeah, and I live there and I see it. I see it every day.
Where are the. You
know, they're on bicycles and they're walking around going,
the wet heat will do it to you.
Oh, it's the wet heat. Yes.
North Dakota?
No. Oh, is it North Dakota? Yeah.
All right. It's a very logical thing. Why would I have brought this to the table?
Is it the District of Columbia?
It's D.C.
Is it?
Oh, no.
Wow.
Probably Manassas.
The research measured which areas of the country are home to the individuals with psychopathic personalities and found that the Northeast hosts a larger percentage of these individuals. That's the whole Northeast.
Right.
Oh.
With Washington, D.C. and Connecticut housing the most. So my home state and my adopted home. This is the real deal here. The study was conducted by Ryan Murphy. He's a research assistant professor at Southern Methodist University. Mm-hmm. These results are the first estimate that we have, to the best of my knowledge, on the degree of psychopathy? Psychopathy?
Psychopathy?
Would it be psychopathy?
Boy, I don't know. I don't know which one.
Found in each state, and this is from Newsweek. So this, you know, they
reputable.
They did their research on this, and the study focused on the big five personality traits as a measurement of ranking for the psychopathic personality.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
This it measured an individual's neuroticism, agreeableness, extroversion, conscientiousness, and openness to experience.
Wait a second. Is agreeableness a symptom of psychopathy?
I think perhaps they were looking at whether someone was agreeable or not.
Okay.
I think so. Washington, D.C. scored highest in the ranking.
Wow.
The Skyling, it's amazing. According to new research, the District of Columbia scored the highest for measurements of psychopathy. I think I pronounced that the right way. The state with the highest psychopathy score was Connecticut. And following that, California, there it is.
Hey, there you go.
Well, yeah.
New Jersey in a tie of New York and Wyoming for fifth.
Wyoming.
Connecticut was actually going to edge out D.C. until they talked to the employees at Einstein Bagels.
Einstein Bagels. Yeah, you don't like those people. I know you haven't done that. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Don't you think when you come back and visit, I know you're here a couple of times a year, and I pop back in, I try to come back once. Am I going to come back this year?
Hey, you've already been here for the Super Bowl. You're off the hook for 18.
That's right. Yeah. I did it for my year. I got my year visit.
See you in March.
We kiss the ring. We'll see you next year.
I think the whole Washington deal, it's just, yes, there's traffic everywhere. Yes, there's competition everywhere. Yeah, I think our area is particularly.
Do you think they come? Come here, or does the area create it?
Oh, I think that's maybe a good question.
Because it's not the most pleasant area to be in at times.
And also, it is a company town, and the company is governing and governance.
Yeah.
And I bet it would actually be advantageous to have lower empathy when you're dealing with the one step forward, three steps back of dealing in government. That would drive an empathetic person insane.
Oh.
Someone who can maybe shut things off, they can survive longer.
Yeah.
You probably have to ignore a lot of stuff that's going on emotionally.
And you have to look for escapes at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what a great one would be?
What's that?
Saturday, July 21st, Patton Oswalt.
Oh,
yes.
Is
at the Kennedy Center.
Early or late?
Well, you know, the early it's weird. The hometown boy made good, sold the early show out. Can't get in at 7 o'clock, but the 9:30 tickets are available. But man, they are vanishing.
Am I being insensitive when I would urge all psychopaths to get their tickets for the second show at the Kennedy Center?
And just type in Dahmer for your psychopath discount. When you go to the Kennedy Center website, get your big psycho discount.
Critics love it. Patton Oswalt's been eating audiences alive with his.
If I could feel joy or laughter, I would give this show 2 thumbs up.
As someone who has been through a couple of marriages in the D.C. area, I will tell you that in between. Now, listen, I don't want to hit the misogyny alarm here. Okay. I don't want to hit the misogyny alarm, but I'm just going to say that my experience that dating in between the marriages that I had, you know, and Oscar, I know you can speak to this. Yeah. Rob, you've been married for a long time,
million years.
And not out there, but Oscar, there tends to be a little bit of instability, probably for both men and women. There we go.
It goes both ways, but for being in the line of work we're in broadcasting, mm-hmm. I think that there is some blame put at our feet as well. Because as stable as we may sound and look on the radio, there's a reason why we got into this business.
I disagree. I've never met anyone unstable in the radio business.
I cannot believe I'm sharing this with you, but I will now.
Okay.
Because the statute of limitations.
Oh.
I don't even remember which marriage this was, but it was one of them. And I was, all I know, I was in Eastport.
I'm sorry, you are literally talking like a pure psychopath. Not sure which wife this was.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
They're all a fleshy blur.
I'm old.
People are objects. People are objects. You are talking about your marriages the way Henry Lee Lucas talked about his victims. I think that one had orange socks on.
It's a defense mechanism.
Was that the one they found in the culvert? It was orange socks. Oh my God.
It's a defense mechanism. Yeah. God damn it.
My God.
This is a true
story.
Listen
to you.
I don't doubt
it's true, but it's also horrifying. Go ahead.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just how I protect myself.
Okay.
I was dating a woman.
Yeah.
And this
a woman.
A woman.
In the culvert.
I don't wish to mention names.
I understand.
I'm not going to, in a phony way, give aliases.
Have the lamb stop screaming, Michael? You'll tell me if they do. You owe me one, you know. Anyway.
I am trying to
tell
you.
You were dating a woman.
This woman left my temporary residence where I was in between relationship when I was living on my own. One of the few times that I had to go out and seek shelter somewhere besides my primary residence. And I was in this place and she called and left a voicemail for me. This is another weird. This suddenly comes to mind.
Right.
And she described she impersonated the voice of a female police officer. And said we found this was, and by the way, this was not an attempt to be mean to me or she went into great detail how that this person had been involved in a car wreck, and when she was at this particular house, it was this detailed thing,
right?
And I'm listening to this and I'm freaking out, and then I finally tracked down this person. She said, I was just kidding.
What? Oh.
I can't begin to tell you the detail of this voicemail that this woman left, and then it was just like kind of just having a little fun. So when I read a story, mm-hmm. and maybe I'm affected by it too as a psychopath as well. Maybe I'm affected by that too. It was just a little odd that it was like.
But at least
and
you
I'm
got
talking
out of
about,
D.C.
This safe. Message was something like,
"This is so-so from the police department. I'd like to mention that we have a young lady that was admitted to the hospital."
And it just was kind of a weird, weird little. God. Thing and you know and Oscar, I know you dated out there. Help me out here, please. For Christ's sake, I'm dying over here. I'm dying.
Well, Mike, I haven't been married three times like you have, but I have dated women that I've fallen in love with. Right,
great
right.
opener.
And things have turned for the worse, as you know. Right. I've talked about it here on the program, mm-hmm. and I really believe that when people get to this state and. When you're in an emotional state, that's outside of being your regular
right.
drone, government drone, where you're going, you're fighting the good battle, you don't feel anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in an emotional state, crazy things do happen.
Sure.
They're mm-hmm. the worst part. Or you're working so hard and you don't realize the next thing you know, there's a professional wrestler from the WWE jumping off the top rope and your girlfriend cheating on him, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to me, Pat.
But word empathy comes back because that's where we all...
Yeah.
are right now.
Yeah.
I think collectively, you talk about, it's weird. We're in a lovely dance. And when you're talking, Patton, about stand-up comedy and how the material you can do, I know you talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
When you're talking, we're in this little weird world of lack of empathy, but yet oversensitivity. Certain things can be, certain things will be, as you've said, career-ending potentially.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't care about
certain, you know, if you disagree with me, I don't care whether you live or die. Well, it's just a weird world we live in.
We have a lack of empathy for... there's just a complete across the board lack of empathy coming from the head down right now. You know that the president tends to set the national mood, but we have an oversensitivity to people that are upsetting the status quo. The status quo, which unfortunately tends to hurt a lot of people, a lot of vulnerable people, and there are people at the top that want that status quo there. So what they're oversensitive to is anything that's going to upset that status quo. That's why, you know, I think there was a lot of oversensitivity after Obama was president. These people that wanted, we got to go back to making America great again, to the good old, oh yeah, when a tiny portion of the population was at an advantage and everyone else, like they wanted that weird dream world, which never really existed anyway. You know, what's really sad is a lot of these MAGA chud Trump supporters were dreaming of a time when they would also have been at the bottom of the food chain. You know, like it's amazing how people from this defend the Confederate flag and go, only like 2% of Southerners were slave owners. Yeah, I know. It was literally an aristocracy down there that you would not have been a part of. They were using you as cannon fodder. So why are you fighting to bring back a time when you also would have been at the bottom of a food chain?
Yeah,
exactly. Disenfranchised. Maybe because they were guaranteed one group they could look down on. You know, whereas now everyone has equal social mobility, but that means, well, if now it's meritocracy, now I have no excuse if I don't make it. So, you know, they don't want that.
It's weird because when you do your stand up and you do a little political material in your stand up.
You can't not now. If you went up now and did a stand up set and didn't talk about whatever was going on that day, people would go, this guy's lost his mind. Like, I guess he's cracked. Yeah, he doesn't want to hear your, but you know, because it's crazy.
There's so much going on with that right now. We find that, you know, it's strange to see that when you talk about our audience, you know, like a lot of the country, we're very divided in this audience and it's frustrating. I look at it and after many discussions with the guys, you know, we kind of look at it as a bit of an escape when they come in here, but it's still, you can go on stage now, and I'll look at I'll use an example of looking at, say, the Rat Pack from a million years ago.
Yeah.
And you look at, or look at Don Rickles and the material that he did, and he would be done. He would be done. You wouldn't be able to do it. And he didn't mean anything by it. It's pretty stunning to watch some of his content. And George Carlin, some of the stuff that wouldn't be, it's just a weird world that we're.
Yeah, but my only defense of Don Rickles was, and I wrote this for Time Magazine when he died. There was a meta thing going on with Don Rickles where, you know, he grew up Jewish, he served in World War II, he saw a lot of racism, and what I almost feel like he was doing, it was almost a precursor to what people like Albert Brooks and Ricky Gervais did, where instead of pointing out the dumb racists and how he embodied that attitude, because as much as he was saying stuff about, you know, black people, Jewish people, Hispanic people, he was doing it in this voice of someone that was coming from such ignorance and fear that he was ultimately the butt of his own joke. And in a lot of his when he would do stage stuff, when he would bring people on stage stuff, he would ultimately, the butt of the joke would be on him. And he was almost making fun of how ridiculous those attitudes were. So, you know, yes, there would be people that would not enjoy and be very oversensitive to his stuff. But, you know, I met him a couple times and he was that just not the person he was. He was like the sweetest human being on the planet that it was trying to. I don't know. It's weird when you see someone like Don Rickles who is. He's not trying to act like I'm the alpha male. I'm pointing out how awesome I am and how terrible. He was unhinged and you know, not on even ground. And a lot of these new kind of alt-right MAGA douchebags, they are openly saying, you know, white people are better and that's the basis of their joke. You know, and also a lot of these alt-right guys and a lot of these, especially these conservative guys, that you find that they're all failed comedians. They all wanted to be comedians and it didn't work out for them. And that's why they're angry and they're pissed off.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you watch Stephen Miller's stuff, the videotapes of him from high school when he was like running for president, and say he's trying to do comedy, but he's so mean-spirited inside that he can't make it. Someone pointed out the same thing with like
You mean like, Stephen Miller from the White House?
Yes.
Stephen Miller? Which Stephen mean Fredo? Miller. Fredo from The Godfather?
He was trying to... No, he's not Fredo. He's Grand...
No, I'm talking about the way he looks. I put up a...
He looks like... But he's Grand Moff Tarkin. Like that guy is evil. He's not... I would love it if Steve Miller was Fredo and was totally incompetent. That'd be great. But no, he's getting all the evil stuff he wants done. Yeah, he's the guy that said we should separate these kids.
I know.
And then he got it through. Like, I mean, it's... they're doing it right in front of us. This isn't like I'm rereading William Riker's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and like Hitler and the SS were at least tried some level of subterfuge to what they did. So when you read back and go, oh, that's how they like the
they got
war,
over
where,
on the people, yeah,
yeah.
But they're just openly doing it, and no one is.
They're tweeting it.
They're tweeting it, and we think of like, man, if I was in Berlin in 1936, I would have stopped it. Well, apparently we wouldn't because no one's stopping it.
Right.
It's happening right now, and no one's stopping it.
Like, and we're doing this podcast from where it's all happening. Right.
People should be storming these detention centers and just going, no, we're taking the kids out. Why? The fact that people are not literally storming these places is insane. The fact that people look back in history and go, why didn't people just go storm Auschwitz or storm Dachau? Because apparently people don't.
Yeah.
But apparently people are very comfortable with a huge level of evil.
It's really something
so true.
Look, we come in here.
Thanks for tuning into the Michael Mara Show, folks. I'm having a party of the afternoon here. This is the podcast that dishes up laughs. Oh my God!
Hey, brother, if you didn't do it, I would. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming in today and just being inundated with this stuff is insanity. And,
to play us out, here's Cool in the Gang.
Hey, everybody! Fantastic. That's a little. Listen, if you like these political rants, and you're in that 38% of our audience that really wants to kill him, he's going to come back with a little bit more of this right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Earth, Wind, and Fire. We will take a break and we will have, I agree with you, 1,000%, and we should. We'll be right back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And ramped it perfectly to
Hi,
post.
This is Maddie. And perfectly so far to on Guilty post. Pleasures, oh my we've heard God. From ASMR addicts, stuffed animal collectors, reality TV junkies, and now we want to hear from you. Do you want to air out a secret pleasure that's been weighing you down? Do you find joy in something that's socially unacceptable? Are you one of the many middle-aged men that apparently love Dawson's Creek? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Maddie's Guilty Pleasure podcast is the place for you. Join us on the More Network as two Maddies from Buffalo talk about our weird habits and yours. Email your guiltiest pleasure to pleasure@mikeomaraShow.com to have those secrets lifted off of your shoulders. And be sure to tune in to see how your weird habits compare. And remember, it's okay to be really, really, really different.
There you go. That's one of our interns right there. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Whistle. We all have dogs. I'm starting every spot now wondering how he's going to work it into this one. We all have dogs. We all love our dogs, which is why we love Whistle. Whistle is a device that attaches to your pet's collar that allows you to track their location and activity from an app right on your phone. I can't do spots with him in the studio.
You don't need to track him because I'm taking him. He'll be with me. You never took care of that dog. Why don't you put a tracker on that mistress of yours and keep her away from our kids?
Whistle is lightweight, waterproof, and it has a rechargeable battery that lasts up to 10 days. Whistle uses GPS and AT&T cellular network to monitor your pet 24/7 anywhere in the USA.
Put a whistle on you! You philanderer!
You can even use Wi-Fi zones to monitor your pet and get notified when they leave and return to their safe place. And your pet is beyond, if it's beyond Wi-Fi range, Whistle can track your pet anywhere in the USA. Microchipping and tags are important for pet safety, but Whistle lets you find your dog before he's lost. Find your pet in minutes and rest easy thanks to Whistle. Whistle brings peace of mind to pet owners across the nation, and for a limited time, our listeners can get $25 off a Whistle device when you use the code TMOS. So go to whistle.com right now and use the code TMOS at checkout. Visit whistle.com today. Whistle, the smarter way to care for your best friend.
Yay! Whistle.
Patton Oswalt is with us. He will be at the Kennedy Center on Saturday, July 21st for another show. They open up another show because the first one sold out in a jiffy. 9:30 at the Kennedy Center, Saturday, July 21st. If you have never had the pleasure of seeing Patton stand up, you got to do it. It's fantastic, and it's always a pleasure. We don't have much time left on the show. I wanted to ask you about the book, one of the best moments I saw. I forgot what talk show you were on, but you were on shortly after the Golden State Killer had been killed. The book that your late wife wrote was
Seth
"I'll
Myers.
Be Gone."
Seth Myers.
"I'll Be Gone in the Dark." Perfect choice to go on there for that. "I'll Be Gone in the Dark: One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer." I think all of us who are friends of you, who are fans of yours, it was just such a wonderful moment to see you talk about the fact that they caught D'Angelo. That's the name of
Richard D'Angelo.
Richard D'Angelo, and
former cop,
he's
in
awaiting trial now.
Yes,
and that was just a great moment. And I know that you're happy with the fact that they were able to finish the book. And and it's out there now. It's an amazing book. It truly is.
Yeah, it was. I had help from journalist Billy Jensen and researcher Paul Haynes, who really stepped up. Really stepped up. It was an amazing moment just to see him helpless and in a cage, and that's it. His whatever life he has left on this world is going to be miserable. And we went to Sacramento and did a book reading afterward, and I got to talk to a lot of the survivors, a lot of the victims' relatives, and they just to see that relief, and they get to, and the local police make sure they get to go to court every day, and this big, powerful alpha male will not look at them. They stare at him the whole time, and he won't, like, he just shies away. It's amazing. It's again, not closure, but justice.
One of the things in the book that I just wanted to, we'll move on from this, but I wanted the. That comes up again and again and again is the type of murders this guy committed. They appeared to be crimes of passion because he did it with such incredible violence that you would normally see. And he didn't know these people. He's just this guy. It seems like it's new turf in the area of these sociopaths.
Well, it was a really creepy combination of passion and meticulousness, because he would take days and weeks and months to case out these houses and plan these things. So to sit on that level of rage, in terms of the end of a process of casing a joint out like that is a level of crazy that I can't imagine operating in the world with. What was he carrying around him inside of him every day?
Yeah, amazing. If you want to, it's an amazing read, and
incredible book. I mean, and
it was Michelle's life work to putting this together. Yeah. And "I'll Be Gone in the Dark" is the book. "One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer," really amazing, terrifying too. I mean, it is.
The audiobook's been number one for weeks now, and it's read by a woman named Gabra Zachman, who's an amazing audio artist. But I'm not saying this as hyperbole or hype. If you get the book on tape, listen to it in the daytime. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that just objectively. I've had friends who said, I started listening to it at night. It was a huge mistake. It really freaked me out. Listen to it in the day, in the sunlight, driving around. Don't listen to it at night.
Mm. Yeah, we're up here in Maine. You know, we're beautiful air at night. And, the windows were open downstairs. I said to Carla, I said, honey, because I'm lazy and I don't like to go downstairs, would you go close the windows? Before we go to break here, because we're short on time, Rob Spiewak, Alton Brown.
Yes,
was a theater major. Your favorite nerd. I wanted to ask Patton. Are you
not
an
only
Alton
that?
Brown
I know.
Guy?
I know a fact about him. He was actually the art director for the REM video, "The One I Love." So he actually did some film
work.
What?
Yeah.
Where do you line up on Alton Brown, Patton?
I love Alton Brown.
Yes! Oh,
Both you nerds just commiserate on Alton Brown. Okay?
What's wrong with Alton Brown?
The science, right?
I don't like Alton Brown. I don't like he makes food. I live in Maine. He did a lobster show.
Still this one
people,
thing! Oh, this
he did
one
a lobster
thing!
Show where he asked people to roll out the little legs on the lobster to make lobster salad. That is ridiculous. He's like a bad golf teacher. He makes it too complicated. I just wanted to get that in for you, Rob Spiewak.
As you can see, Mike does not hold a grudge.
I just want my crustaceans in my belly. Why you gotta add things? I want my ocean insects in my belly.
Oh, God. Less fat guy making a joke about there a more fat guy. Yeah. All right, very good. We're going to take a break. We will come back, ladies and gentlemen, with the news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week's O'Mara cast features Fascinating Tales of Radio. Hi there, Jim Amato here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Marcus Serta has the week off, and my special guest is P1 Robert Wood of Austin, Texas.
It's the wood that makes it good.
Robert and I look back on the past week of shows at more broadcasting, including
a big announcement about Sin City
and a new hit song climbing the top of the TMOS charts.
He went down.
Download O'Maracast today on iTunes, the TMOS app, the PlayApod app, or at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And now let's tune back into more TMOS. Here's Mike.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you by Amazon. Shop on Amazon. Everybody does it. It's easy. It saves money. It's a no-brainer. But we do need you to use your brain. And remember to access the site by clicking the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. That will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase. So start clicking, because if you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day, Rob Spiewak?
We were just talking about it. It's the book, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, One Woman's Obsessive Search for the Golden State Killer. Here's the thing. If you go through our Amazon link, you can get it on Kindle, hardcover, paperback, audiobook. You can even get it on CD. This is the place to buy it. And you did not mention it, afterward by Patton Oswalt.
And a foreword by Gillian Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Again, do not listen to the audiobook at night. Listen to it during the day in the sunlight.
Yes.
Okay?
Amazon really does have everything.
Oh, boy.
You can find the book and more at the top of MikeO'MaraShow.com. And that makes sure we get credit. It costs you nothing. Now, go spend money. And we thank you. We are here with Patton Oswalt, and it's time for news, ladies and gentlemen. News.
News. News. News. News. News.
A musical based on Michael Jackson is in development, and it's on track to make a Broadway premiere in 2020.
Huh.
More work for Nathan Lane.
Is it? Is it a jukebox musical? Will they base it obviously around his songs? They'll structure it around his songs?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Patton. There aren't many details, but it's probably safe to assume that the production will focus on his music career, not the sex abuse allegations, especially since his estate is involved. So I think it'll be a sanitized version.
Mm-hmm.
His music will be included, but there isn't any confirmation on what songs they're using.
It's a jukebox musical.
They will be used. A jukebox, is that
they call it jukebox when they take like an artist catalog and do it? You know,
I guess Jersey Boys was the template. That was the first big one.
Mamma Mia.
Oh, I guess you're right.
That launched the whole genre, basically.
And now you know. There's a lot of annoying stuff happening in the world these days, and Fran Drescher is apparently thinking we can do more because she is threatening to bring back The Nanny.
Oh, no.
Kind of what you were talking about.
But I heard at least Fran's, she's a nice person. She's sweet. She's
nice
funny. So, yeah, let her. Fine. People like that show. Who cares? There, I'm gonna endorse it. Yeah, who cares? Fine.
Thank you.
Put it on the poster.
Yeah, there you go. Fine. She's nice. Who cares?
In a new interview with Entertainment Tonight, she hinted that she'll have some big news to reveal. And you heard, Patton's on board. Might be one of the writers.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Wacky neighbor.
ESPN, the magazine, releases its body issue next week, and they announced the lineup yesterday. It includes, I don't know this guy, number 2 NFL draft pick, Saquon Barkley.
Oh,
Oscar, do you know
Saquon Barkley is...
Saquon, I knew I'd
a white
name.
Guy saying a black name. It's a white guy saying a black name.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I'd like some mayonnaise on my sandwich, please.
Thank you very much. Yes. So Saquon Barkley. What is it, Oscar?
Saquon.
Again?
Saquon.
Thank you very much. Yes, you know this guy. Great bod.
He's going to look amazing.
Thank you.
So is this the one where they're nude on the cover?
And throughout the magazine as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
WNBA stars Breanna Stewart and Sue Bird, WWE women's wrestler Charlotte Flair, and 63-year-old golf legend Greg Norman, and of course Patton Oswalt will also be featured in the
issue.
There
you go.
Wow.
We're very excited about that.
Greg Norman, is that
if you want to pre-order if you want to pre-order the issue with my body on the cover, go to their website and put in the bonus code POUCH. So just put it in a pouch. There you go.
And as I always like to say when we're having these discussions, I'm bigger. A new survey asked people if chest hair is hot or not, and the answer is no.
Oh, no.
At least according to the... What is that? Oh, yeah. We should call you the loom.
That's me.
at least according to the ladies, 28% of women say they like chest hair versus 35% who don't. Men slightly prefer chest hair by a tiny margin. 20% like it, 21% like it, 20% don't.
If you're into bears, you like the chest hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they know how many bears were in the survey.
I'm in the category where I just don't care anymore. I never wanted to. Back in the day, when I was active, it was
when you were
big
four.
Hairy chest. Yeah.
Did we wax our chest or just our back?
You waxed your back.
That's right. Because I think I waxed my chest once and lost a nipple. It was horrible.
Right. Oh,
I've had my chest waxed multiple times.
Really?
Well, there's a different.
But what happens when it grows back? Is it all itchy and weird and ingrown?
You have to maintain it. So you're right. It does get itchy. Yeah, but I stopped doing it probably 5-6 years ago when I realized that what's the point?
But wasn't your mom helping you with that?
My mom would wax my chest when I was younger.
Oh. You see, he sort of buried the lead there.
Wait a minute. What?
All right. This is awkward.
Hell. What kind of American horror story season is this?
Don't listen to that audiobook at night.
Yeah,
I don't know why this has popped into my head right now. Patton, have you ever been on camera and had your shirt off?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because you have, right?
Yeah, I mean, young adult.
That's it. Young adult with a Charlize
Theron. I had a sex scene with maybe one of the most genetically perfect human beings on the planet. I remember thinking, I can't do a nude scene with Paul Giamatti or John Goodman. It's got to be with the most flawless human being ever to walk the earth. My God.
I saw the movie. I don't remember that. Now I know why I don't remember. I probably blocked it a little bit.
Yeah.
That
shirtless scene is what got us Trump. That led to Trump. It broke the country spirit. They went, Trump.
Spirit. Oh, my God.
What's the point?
And now we offer you a little something-something for your perusal. 25-year-old Daniel Blair was headed to a party in Racine, Wisconsin on Saturday, but he'd never been to the apartment before, so his friend told him to just follow the sound of the music when he got there. And that's what he did, but he couldn't get into the complex. So he decided to scale the side of a balcony and climb up to where the music was coming from.
Sure.
Just like his friend told him. Unfortunately, he ended up on someone else's balcony and came face to face with a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, no.
He tried to explain what he was doing, but the girl's mom freaked out when she saw him and probably thought he was breaking in. It's not clear if she pushed him, but she caused him to fall off the balcony.
I shouldn't be laughing, but that's fantastic.
I know, isn't it great?
Yeah.
You just, I mean, it's really right out of a movie where it's like,
it is.
Ah! Push, thump, you know, that's the way
80s.
It goes.
80s teen sex comedy.
Yeah, something with Adrian Zmed.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
hey guys, Boner just got pushed off a balcony. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
I told him to follow the music, man. Yeah, he followed the music.
Yeah,
fantastic.
There you go.
When she called the cops when they got there, Daniel was still walking around looking for the party. He's facing charges for disorderly conduct.
And
the party fizzled out because, the fun can't really start till the idiot gets there. Come on, man.
Boner.
Boner. Where's Boner?
Boner's coming, man. We'll take a break. Come back with more. You are listening to the Mike O'Meara Show.
It's Political Persuasion.
Hey, it's Fritz. This week on Political Persuasions, Mike and I talk about the Trump administration's policy of separating immigrants crossing the border illegally from their children. There's a ray of light in local journalism, and you get some of my outtakes. You won't want to miss it.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. It's the worst time of the year.
Oh.
No one told you about Barry Trotz. You threw your back out just by petting your sugar glider. The sunroom is your dog's new porta potty, and your wife's lips have forever been changed. What will you do? What will you do? Well, you little nincompoop, how about the TMOS bonus show? The bonus show is an extra hour of TMOS comedy each and every week. It will change you from a melancholy dolly into a G.I. Jovial.
Is Mike having a stroke?
No, he's just reading the copy.
Oh, okay.
I'm reading, Patton, I'm reading what that man. I'm wow. pointing through the camera. That man in front of you, that large man in front of you, he wrote these.
Oh,
do you see
Lord.
The joy?
On purpose.
Do you see the joy? This is the joy that it brings. It might not bring in any joy to anyone in our listening audience, but it brings him joy.
G.I.
And
Jovial.
I read them with zeal.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then, yes.
Wow.
I got two tickets to Paradise. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click the bonus banner. It's a great gift. Spread some cheer, bonus show style. Get happy by giving back. It's the bonus show, and we thank you for supporting us. Let's open up the audio vault with Rob Spiewak. Take it away. We're here with Patton. By the way, let me give him another plug.
Please.
Kennedy Center, Saturday, July 21st, 9:30 show. They've opened up a second show.
Second show.
And oh, my God, I wish I was going to be there. I really wish I was going to be there, but I'm not allowed to leave home, unfortunately. That's the way.
I will
goes.
Say this. When I saw you at the Warner Theater, I guess, a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, it was so cool to see you in a venue of that size doing crowd work with DC-centric jokes.
Yeah.
You were talking about Sterling, Virginia.
Yes,
it was so great.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
Guys,
or
there'll be
as
some
the
fun.
First person.
Go ahead,
Patton. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, there'll be some fun hometown crowd work, so come on out. Come on out and enjoy the Bull Run references.
First person that ever called the radio show and said that town to me, she said Sterling.
Sterling.
WOHN, Herndon, Virginia. So where are you calling from? Sterling. I don't get it. It was back then. I guess it was a little more rural, then it turned into a big burp.
I love showbiz friendships, and this is a pretty funny story. Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Tom Hanks apparently every couple of years have a colonoscopy party as they prep the night before together. And here's Steve Martin and Martin Short talking about the colonoscopy parties.
You guys and Tom Hanks, you get together every other year for a colonoscopy party.
We're very excited. We go to Steve's house around 5 p.m. the night before. We call it colonoscopy eve in Canada. And it's catered. There's Jell-O. You know, there's not much you have to purge all day.
Yeah.
And then we toast the
and
night.
I wanted to make it nice, you know, so I got candles. And then I realized they were way too wide and they should have been tapered.
But no, and then what's shocking is with Steve, you know, he's a wealthy man. Who would think he would have one bathroom? I mean, that was... I mean, by 10 p.m., the bathroom looks like day 14 of a carnival cruise, you know?
So that's what they do. I think that makes it a little more fun. Before we play this next tape, I don't know that I've ever shared with you Dave Koz's smooth jazz version of the theme to Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Yeah. 88.1.
So I did not know this. Robert Plant, lead singer of Led Zeppelin, was offered a role in Game of Thrones, and yet he turned it down.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
I
got offered a part in that.
Did I?
Yeah.
And you said no?
Yeah, well, I don't want to be typecast.
I mean,
I started that
crap.
Go back to Immigrant Song.
Yes.
And Led Zeppelin being a part of a cultural exchange in Iceland with the Icelandic government.
So yeah, he turned down a role in Game of Thrones. Yeah, odd. I did not know that. Now, every time you go to a movie or you're watching a TV show and they've got a bald eagle, I think we all know the sound that a bald eagle makes, or we're accustomed to thinking that it sounds like. I found out the bald eagle cry is too wimpy for Foley artists. So every time you see a bald eagle, what you're actually hearing is a red-tailed hawk. So here is a red-tailed hawk followed by the wimpy sound of the bald eagle.
Yeah.
That should be a bald eagle, right? This is bald eagle.
Oh, whoa.
So you've been fooled for years, America.
Mm.
You know what the thing is, though? I've got bald eagles in both places that I hang out, and I've heard them, and I thought that they were, well, they're ospreys, too, but I thought it made more of a screech.
Yeah, but
what
apparently.
If you've been so conditioned that that's what you're hearing, even though that's not what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe you're crazy.
I have a friend here, when I visit, we take his boat out on the Potomac, and look, there's all these bald eagle nests that we look at,
right.
And they don't make that sound.
Yeah, they make you want it to sound like this.
Yeah.
And they just don't measure up.
No, they don't.
We had the Chihuahua out in the yard the other day, and they've actually issued a warning up here that ospreys and some of the other birds of prey are taking small dogs. So I said,
oh.
Yeah. I said, Frankie, go to the property line. go to the property line.
Do you rub them down with steak before you do that? Time for walkies. Benicio del Toro discussing the amazing secrecy. If you get cast in a Star Wars movie, they don't even give you a script. They send a handler with an iPad with a code, and he stands with you while you read your part because they don't want the scripts to be copied or to be distributed. This is a funny story. Benicio del Toro talking about when he first saw his Star Wars script.
Yeah, they bring an iPad with the code and the whole bit, and the script is right there, and it was really, I'm a slow reader, you know. Uh-huh. You know, usually it can take me 8-10 hours to really read a script.
Uh-huh. I mean, I feel like you take some breaks.
Yeah, of course I do. I daydream quite a bit.
All right, stop it for a second. We've got some access right here to that. Is that, do these projects, the secrecy is paramount, right?
The I've only dealt with Marvel secrecy, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. There's a lot of codes involved.
Yeah.
There's a lot of entering codes and having to update codes, and
Do they send a guard? Like to monitor?
I haven't had the guard thing yet, but I've had a lot of like enter codes, and then you have to like renew them every couple of weeks.
Wow.
And what was that character you showed a picture of where you were in the leather, you're in the leather jacket with the helmet. You're going to be a comic book.
Oh, that was on
character.
My, that's just on my personal Facebook page. So
am I supposed to not say that?
Let's not talk about that right now.
Oh! But you're excited about it, aren't
I'm
you?
Very excited about it.
That is so cool.
That's cool.
Let's just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No problem. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Mike, I don't want to be friends with you.
Yeah, you know what you are, Mike? You're a blabbermouth.
I have a job to do. I have an effing job to do, too. Christ's sake. God, I'm over here scratching. You know, he's the only A-lister I get.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine Benicio del Toro? Like,
if I'm your only A-lister, this show is in the crapper because that's really
okay,
sad.
Okay, where's the ding? Where's the ding, Patton? There it is, Patton, with the score right over there. Thank you very much.
But I like the fact that Benicio del Toro says the reason it takes him so long to read his script, lots of day drinking.
I'm a day drinker.
Let's
pause for a cocktail.
Are you comfortable, guard? Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's close with this. This video is at the top of our Facebook page, and I invite you to look at it because it's a guy. It looks like he's in a gun shop. He's got a pistol. You hear him talking about you have to be trained. You have to be careful. He puts the gun in his belt. And then leans over and shoots himself in the groin. If you've and by the way, they're telling me in my ear he's going to be okay. But if you want to know what it sounds like to shoot yourself in the groin, it sounds a little something.
Well, before you play this, the only way to stop a bad groin is a good guy with a gun. You know that, right? You know that, right? It's the only way.
All right, here's the sound of the groin bullet. That's why you practice, is what he says.
Play it again. Play.
You know, it's kind of like in Washington D.C. where they also are doing away with tips. Shooting yourself in the groin.
Sorry, I played that twice. I'm really sorry.
That was like a Jackie Gleason reaction. Big. Yeah.
Right, that is your magic audio vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
That is it, people. Patton, we will see you in 3 years. Thank you so very much for dropping in. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks,
seriously, continued success to you. And, you know, really, I love what you're doing. And just keep doing what you're doing. And
I'll try.
I wish you nothing but the best. We love you, and we love it when you come by. We really do.
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yay,
Patton Oswalt.
Good
will
day.
Be at the Kennedy Center Saturday, July 21st, 9:30 show. And you can go to PattonOswalt.com to check out all of the other appearances that he will be making. That's it. We got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Bara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace. That's why you're practicing.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.